vadanamu madaram nayanu madaram matsita manram dayam madaram manam madaram madurani patera ilam madaram vachanam madaram janitam madaram majatsam madaram madaram whoops, change the sound here, sorry. Hey. Chatanara, Goswami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananda Goti, Vaishnav, Vrinda Gajai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Gajai. Haramse, Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shidwaita Gadadha. Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindagajai Shishi Radhakrishna Gopikopanath Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Mitsuradam Kijai Navadipdam Kijai Jagadathasami Kijai Munamaye Kijai Shimadgalasi Devi Kijai Savita Bhakta Vrindagajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, nama om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharani, Nirva Shesha Shunyavadi, Paschacha Deja Tarne. So, okay, does somebody fix this thing up? Okay, so, welcome to the class. Just one sad announcement is that the devotee asked you to pray for, she actually left her body this morning. That's Shama Balava, who was a very dear disciple of mine. I actually posted, maybe I could even post what I put here. Anyway, I'll just read. I'll read the eulogy I wrote, so you get an idea. Here's the eulogy I wrote to her. And actually the story is that she left this world with her daughter right next to her, chanting the holy names in her ear, and opened her mouth and left in a very peaceful way, and Krishna's definitely taken care of her. So here's the eulogy. My condolences to the family of Shyamabalabha. Upon her passing from this world, she leaves behind many devoted family members who will grieve. Actually, I spelled grieve wrong. Grief, her absence. Grief. Anyway, spelling. Her absence. Everyone who knew her was captured by her loving warmth. She's also my dear spiritual daughter. Whenever I was in Fiji, I relished visiting her home and appreciating her deep Krishna-conscious devotion. She had so much love for others, and she showered her love upon her guru, abundantly. Her devotional qualities also capture the heart of Radha and Krishna. They made all the arrangements for their dear devotee to join them, but arranging for her to hear the holy names, some spelling because I typed this real quickly, and be surrounded by loving devotee family members at the end of her mortal sojourn. As we know from the Bhagavad Gita, whatever state of consciousness one is in determines one's destination, because Shyamabalava was focused on the holy names while leaving this world. We can understand that she is in a perfect situation now with Radha and Krishna. I was even told by Govinda Mohini that during the final days, Shyamabalava kept moving her fingers and mouth to chant the holy name. Such determination is only seen in someone who has Radha and Krishna deeply implanted in their hearts. All glories to my dear spiritual daughter, Shyamabalava. And that's the eulogy, and that's being read today at the funeral. So I just thought I would read that. And she's a very, very wonderful, simple-hearted devotee. Sometimes we think that someone, in order to go back to God, has to be very, very sophisticated and be able to read or memorize millions and millions of verses. But that's not really the case. What really impresses Krishna is that very simple devotion, one-pointed devotion, dependence on Krishna. In other words, even in the Bible it says one has to become like a child to go back to the kingdom of God. So this is what we want. Of course, we don't want to become uneducated or not to have education. But at the same time, what buys our ticket back to Godhead is the simple devotion for Radha and Krishna, simple dependence on Guru and Gauranga. So remember that. So it's not that only people with PhDs or university degrees go back to Godhead. I mean, there's that whole story that Prabhupada told us about Narada Muni, and I'll just tell that very quickly. Again, Narada Muni, once upon a time, was visiting a particular village, and in that village, there was a very educated Brahmin and also a cobbler. Both of them were devotees of Krishna. So he goes to the educated Brahmin, and he says to the educated Brahmin, "Hi." And the educated Brahmin says, "Please accept my humble obeisances, Narada Muni." And Narada Muni says, "I'm just on my way back to the spiritual world to see Lord Narayan." And the Brahmin said, "Really? Tell me, when am I going back to Godhead?" And Narada Muni says, "I'll ask. Is the audio, can everybody hear the audio?" Yeah, everybody else can hear the audio. It's only one person who can't hear the audio. So anyway, okay, I would have got more messages had the audio not been working. Yes, everybody. Is it weak? Is the audio weak or is it strong? Someone said, so it's strong. Actually, everyone else says it's strong. Okay. Yeah, I thought so because it's registering pretty high in the meter here. Okay, so thank you for your comments. So anyway, so getting back to Narada Muni. So the Brahmin said to Narada Muni, please ask Narayan when I'm going back to Godhead. And Narada Muni said, sure thing, we'll ask Lord Narayan. Okay, so he goes, and he sees the cobbler, and the cobbler asks the same question, you know, when am I going back to Godhead? So Narada Muni goes to see Lord Vishnu, and he tells Lord Vishnu the questions that the cobbler and the Brahmin have. And Lord Vishnu says, just tell them that I was passing an elephant through the eye of a needle. And based on that, and also tell him it may take many births to go back to Godhead. So he goes to see, Narada Muni returns to the material world, and he goes to see the Brahmin, and he tells the Brahmin, you know, it's going to take many births, and the Brahmin says, yeah, I don't believe that. I'm a real Brahmin. Real Brahmins go back to Godhead really quickly. So he said, you actually saw Lord Narayan, I don't believe it. You should tell me what he was doing. And Narada Muni said he was taking an elephant and putting it through the eye of a needle. And the Brahmin said, you rascal, I mean, he couldn't do that. You know, it's, get out of here, Narada Muni. Hit the road, Narada Muni. Then he went to the cobbler, and the cobbler asked the same question. Narada Muni answered the same way. And the cobbler said, can you tell me what Lord Narayan was doing? And Narada Muni said, he was passing an elephant through the eye of a needle. And cobbler said, oh, how wonderful my lord is. And Narada Muni said, come on, you actually believe that stuff? How could anyone pass an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the cobbler, he said, look, Narda, if the Lord can put a whole tree in a seed, then why can't he pass an elephant through the eye of a needle? He can do anything. He's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, and all those other nice qualities. So, anyway, Narada Muni said, you go back to garden right away, Prabhu. And so the flower airplane came, took the cobbler back to garden, and the Brahmin had to stay for many, 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 many births in the material world because he didn't have that simple faith in the Lord. He wanted to apply too much hermeneutics. He wanted to apply his own interpretation, what made sense to him. You know, sometimes we read things in the Shastras and we're thinking, how would that be? But actually, sometimes things are different than our empirical experience leads us to believe. Or even the empirical experience of scientists or with all their instruments. Sometimes things are different, completely the opposite. So we should have faith in the Vedic literatures and faith in Krishna and faith in the spiritual master. So that's the type of faith. So there's one devotee, Shyamabalava. She had just complete, simple faith, not sophisticated. So Krishna has come to save the unsophisticated devotees. Those who just like very simple, give their heart to Krishna, like the gopis. I mean, they're very simple, not so well educated. Very simple village girls. And actually all the residents of Vrindavan, other than a few like the Brahmins like Garga Muni, they're actually very simple, unsophisticated persons. Like Yashodamayi. Very unsophisticated. But their hearts, or her heart, is given to Krishna. And that's the point. Just give the heart to Krishna. And what's the evidence you give the heart to Krishna? Is that you're enthusiastic to please Krishna 24 hours a day. That's the proof. And you don't really want to do anything else other than pleasing Krishna, which means part of that is chanting his holy names. Okay. So let's go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but first, Om Gana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my divine spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorancia, that's Spanish for ignorance. Okay, so now we'll go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let me just put the screen down so I can see the better to see you with. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Alrighty. So we're in chapter 22, beginning with text 54, Majjhalila, of course. And these are part of the instructions that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving to Sanatana Goswami. So this chapter is about the process of devotional service. The previous chapter was about the opulence and sweetness of Krishna, and this chapter is about the process of devotional service. So, of course, we're talking about process. It's not mechanistic, but there are certain recommendations, like one of them we're going to read about in this verse, which is perhaps the most important recommendation that you can have, which is an association with devotees. And a very, very significant and important verse and famous verse. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastre Kaya, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoya. The verdict of all revealed scriptures is by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. According to astronomical calculations, a lava is 1/11 of a second. So if you have 1/11 of a second association with a pure devotee, boom, that's it. Actually, we were speaking about this morning in relationship to something called cheating or kaitava. Like, Krishna tricks us to come to his lotus feet. How does he trick us? That we're just minding our business, in my case, listening to the radio, and all of a sudden, Prabhupada came on the radio. I didn't plan it. And Prabhupada starts chanting on the radio, and that's it. My material life was gone. That was a trick. Of course, not a trick in the sense that someone is devious or someone is deliberately trying to do something to exploit someone else. But sometimes one has to be a little, let's say, one has to plan things strategically, a little strategic. So, this is the case. If one just hears the holy name, takes prasadam, then one will actually become Krishna conscious eventually. And it's interesting, I was talking to someone today about mass prasadam distribution, you know, Fruit for Life program. And they were saying, well, there's the benefit of people take prasadam. I said, you got to make sure it's prasadam. Because they simply, if you hire a bunch of people to cook and you pass out vegetarian food, that is not prasadam. I mean, it may be like charity in the mode of goodness. Maybe. It's actually mixed with the other modes. Obviously, it's not pure goodness. But it's not prasadam. People are not going to get advancement by eating food cooked by someone who is not Krishna conscious and is not offered to Krishna. It's not that food is synonymous with prasadam or prasadam is synonymous with food. Prasadam means mercy. And for one to have the mercy of taking prasadam, the prasadam has to be cooked by someone who is following strictly, and it also has to be offered by someone who is following strictly. Krishna's not going to accept it. You know, let's say Ravana comes and says, even to me, he says, would you like some food to eat with me tonight? Of course, with Ravana, it might be, would you like to be the food and have me eat you tonight? But so, anyway, I wouldn't accept. I would bring my own dinner to Ravana's house. So, anyway. So text 55, Tulayama Lavenapi Nasvargam Napunarvavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Marchanam Kimi Uta Shishaha. The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attainment of the heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which is for those who are meant for death. Ooh. So one moment's association. Why is that? Because that moment association gives you eternal spiritual benefit. Anything else you get, let's say, oh, heavenly planets, when your good karma runs out, you come back here. Liberation from matter. Arugatrena parampadam. You fall down from that if it's not Krishna conscious. And worldly benedictions, like a big house, a big car, or something like that. That's it. It's temporary. Krishna consciousness is not temporary. That's the difference. Everything else other than Krishna consciousness is temporary. You may think, this is fanatic. You sannyasis are all fanatic. No, it's scientific. Point out one thing in this world that's not temporary. In this world, we're not talking about the soul. Even the sun, which exists for many millions or billions of years, it's temporary. Everything is temporary. As Shakespeare says, life's a poor player that struts and frets his time upon the stage and then is heard no more. Life's a poor player that struts and frets his time upon the stage and then is heard no more. And also, the whole show, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the whole show is only temporary. Or as the Bhagavad Gita says, bhutva, bhutva, paliyate. Again and again it's created, and again the whole world is destroyed. So, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 118.13. This verse concerns the Vedic rites and sacrifices performed by the great sages of Naimisharanya headed by Shanaka Rishi. The sages pointed out that association with a devotee for even less than a second is beyond comparison to 1,000 Vedic rituals and sacrifices, elevation to heavenly planets, or merging into the existence of the Supreme. So it's described that the sages of Naimisharanya were engaged in 1,000-year sacrifice for the benefit of human beings, or benefit of the whole world. And basically, as the song goes, smoke got in their eyes. Until Sutta began to speak. Sutta Goswami. Because the Bhagavatam, okay, here's the story about the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam originally spoken by Krishna to Lord Brahma. So you have Vyasadeva, actually Narada, Vyasadeva, and Shukadeva Goswami. And Shukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam to Pariksit Maharaj. And the audience was Sutta Goswami. And Sutta Goswami went to Naimisharanya to preach to the sages at Naimisharanya headed up by Shanaka Rishi. And actually, before Sutta Goswami came or began to preach to them, there was his father. His father's name was Romaharshana Sutta. Of course, Sutta means a mixed family. Mixed. Which is all right. We don't mind mixed families. But at those days, or in those days, you know, mixed families were not really so much recommended. So, anyway, so Romaharshana Sutta and his son, Sutta Goswami, his son was a Goswami, came to Naimisharanya, and Romaharshana Sutta was getting ready to speak something. However, he had a little problem. And what was that problem? Lord Balaram came. Is that a problem, Lord Balaram coming? I do not think so. The problem was that Lord Balaram came and Romaharshana Sutta did not stand up. He just thought, you know, I'm sitting on the Vyasasan. I'm giving class, you know, just everybody sit down. Even if God comes, he should sit down and listen to my class. That's what he was thinking. So God came. That's Balaram, who was Krishna's first expansion. And Balaram noted that Romaharshana Sutta was not behaving himself and standing up. So he thought, he's not really qualified because he doesn't know etiquette. Not that Balaram was concerned with his own worship or prophet adoration distinction, but he thought, you know, this guy's not qualified. I think I need to get rid of him. So Balaram pulled out a little piece of kusha grass and killed him with a piece of grass. Now, if you can kill someone with a piece of grass, you're doing pretty well. You must be God. So anyway, so Romaharshana Sutta kicked the bucket. And when he kicked the bucket, the sages were just like, besides themselves, what are we going to do? They said, what are we going to do? We gave him a benediction, he'd have a long life. And you just cut his life short. What are we going to do? I mean, we could bring him back to life. We have that power. However, because you killed him, it's not a good idea for us to bring him back to life. So we got to respect whatever you do, Balaram. You know, we obviously didn't want to anger him anymore. So they thought for a second. Balaram said, and they also said, that his son, Sutta Goswami, will represent him. In this way, he will have a long life because a man lives through his children. Huh. Interesting. So my parents must be living through me. Not literally, but they get the benefit. Okay. So it's like one of these rituals like that, that the parents live through the children. So Siddha Goswami took over and he began to speak at Naimisharanya, and he spoke that verse. They realized that all the Vedic rituals they were doing before were for naught. That means zero. Were for naught. And so the most important thing was association with devotees and hearing. That's the association with devotees, not simply being the same physical presence. For example, a bug may be in the same physical presence as a devotee. Like if there was a bug. I mean, for example, the other day I was in the place, I have an apartment in Raleigh, and there was this giant cockroach taking a shower with me. And I touched him with my feet so he wouldn't drown. Not because I was thinking, let me liberate him. And then he appeared as a human being. No, no. No, he didn't. That's just a joke. So he was having association, but that's not the type of association. A bug is biting, or a mosquito. Like if you go to Fiji, so many mosquitoes have association with you. So we have to use association preventative, which is association repellent. And actually, it's interesting. Sometimes devotees who do this Jada yoga, they use association repellent, which means they act in such a way so that people don't go near them and disturb their meditation. I mean, Gorgashodas Babaji Maharaj did that. Other devotees like Lord Vrishabhadev did that. It's called Jada Yoga, or what to speak of, Jada Bharata, who we talked about last night. It's called association repellent to keep people away. But Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada wanted as many people as possible to associate with him. Anyway, Krishna Kripalu Arjunere Lakshakariya Jagatere Rakiya Chena Upadesha Diya. Krishna is so merciful that simply by aiming his instructions at Arjuna, he has given protection to the whole world, because everyone can use the Bhagavad Gita. This is a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, two verses. Sarva guyatamam buya shrinu me paramam vachayishtosi me dhradamiti tato vakshyami te hitam manana bhagavan vato madhyajimam namaskuru mame vishashi sacham te pati jane prihosi me. Because you are my very dear friend. I am speaking to you, my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Now, two verses that are very important in the Gita. It's a quotation from the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text 64 to 65. Purvanya Veda Dharma Karma Yoga Jnana Stavasari Sheshe Yikya Balavan. Although Krishna previously explained the proficiency of executing the Vedic rituals, performing fruitive activities as enjoined in the Vedas, practicing yoga and cultivating jnana, these last instructions are the most powerful and stand above all the others. You know, Sarvadharma and Vrichaja. Manmanavabhav, manbhaktos, etc. Eyagya bale bhaktera shara yadi haya sarva karma tyaga kari se Krishna bhojaya. If the devotee has faith in the strength of this order, he worships Lord Krishna and gives up all other activities. It's a question of faith. Tavat karmani kurvita narnivedyeta yavata matkata shravanadava shradayavanajayate. As long as one is not satisfied by fruit of activity, is not awakened as a taste for devotional service by Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu 7523, one has to act according to the regulated principles of the Vedic injunctions. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29. So in other words, if you're not situated on the transcendental platform and you're attracted to things of this world, then your pursuance of things or objects of this world or your liberation or yogic powers or whatever should be done according to the Vedic injunctions, because if you don't do it according to the Vedic injunctions, you will be committing the karma. So several things. There's akarma, vikarma, like that, and plain old karma. Of course, the word karma literally means what? Action. But in this context, karma means sukarma. Sukarma means good karma. So I have good karma, then I get good results. I go to the heavenly planets. Jai Huribo. That's good karma. And akarma means activities that don't have any result. Now, the only activities that don't have any result are Krishna conscious activities. And the karma means activities that have a bad reaction. For example, if you eat meat, you will become the same animal you eat. Unless you eat a cow, and then you become billions of cows for each piece of cow flesh you eat. So if you're going to eat flesh, better to just eat what? Pig or a goat or a fish. Don't do it, but there's lesser of a reaction, that's all. I mean, you only have to become a pig or a goat or a dog or a fish. Not so bad. Become a fish, be get caught by somebody, have this hook go through your mouth all the way up your nose into your eye. Not so bad. That's what will happen to you if you go fishing. One of the favorite American sports, fishing. This is an important verse again. Krishna Bhakti Kaila. Kaila Sarva Karma Kritahoi. Shraddha is confident, firm faith that by rendering transcendental loving service, the Krishna one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. Such faith is favorable to the discharge of devotional service. So shraddha basically means, literally, giving one's heart. One's heart is completely given, that's firm faith, firm trust. Then we trust that by doing what Krishna wants, which is rendering transcendental loving service, then you'll achieve success. You don't have to do things that Krishna doesn't want. Okay? And that faith gives you devotional service. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tatakuru. One who has faith in Krishna, the spiritual master, and the Vedic literatures, everything is revealed to that person. Firm faith and confidence are called shraddha. When one engages in the Lord's devotional service, he is to be understood to have performed all his responsibilities in the material world. He has satisfied the forefathers, ordinary living entities, and demigods, and is free from all responsibility. All responsibility? All material responsibility. Still is responsible for his family. He's still responsible for his Krishna conscious service. He's responsible to serve his guru. I mean, still responsible. He still has to act. But whatever he does, he acts in connection, or his actions are in connection with Krishna. Such a person does not need to meet his responsibilities separately, which is what I said. They should all be connected to Krishna. It is automatically done. Fruit of activity, karma, is meant to satisfy the senses of the conditioned soul. However, when one awakens to Krishna consciousness, he does not have to work separately for pious activity. The best achievement of all fruit of activity is detachment from material life, and this detachment is spontaneously enjoyed by the devotee firmly engaged in the Lord's service. So in other words, a devotee doesn't have to try separately for detachment. Why not? That's an interesting question. Why doesn't he or she, or they or it, have to try separately for detachment? Because they become so attached and absorbed in love that the love gives them attachment, and then everything else becomes uninteresting. Right? If you're super attached to something, just like I was watching a report that people are very attached to what? You see, mobile phones. I don't know if you can see. Anyway, they're very attached to their mobile phones. And they can't live a moment. Mobile phones. You can't live a moment. Actually, I gave this whole class without looking at my mobile phone. That's pretty good. So they can't live a moment. And so they don't notice anything else going on in the world. The whole world could fall apart. There could be a major world war. But they have to engage themselves in sending their last text. Okay. Text 63. Hold on a second. Let me move a few things on the screen. I've been moving things around. Yatataro, another famous verse. Yatataro muna nischenena tripyanti tatskanda vujo vashakaha. Pranopaharacha yatendriyanam dataiva sarvarhanam achuteja. You said we couldn't hear this class without this mobile phone? I'm not using a mobile phone for this class. By pouring water, that's Krishna, Krishna's service, on the root of a tree, one automatically satisfies the trunk, branches, and twiggies. Similarly, by supplying food to the stomach, where it nourishes the life air, one satisfies all the senses. In the same way, by worshipping Krishna and rendering him service, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all living entities. And Prabhupada gave this example many, many times. He said, you cannot eat food by supplying it just to the hand. You could squeeze the food, squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. And the hand can't digest food directly. But if the hand gives it to the stomach, through the mouth, of course, not directly in the stomach, but to the stomach, then the whole body becomes supplied with food. It's the quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 4:31-14. Shadavanjana haya bhakti adhikari uttama madhyama kanishta shada anusari. A faithful devotee is a truly eligible candidate for the loving service of the Lord according to one's faith. One is classified as a topmost devotee, an intermediate devotee, or an inferior devotee. We've read about this many times, but topmost devotee is uttama adhikari. Middle devotee is a madhyama adhikari, and inferior is a kanishta, materialistic devotee. The word shatavan, faithful, means understanding Krishna to be the summum bonum, the eternal truth and the absolute transcendence. If one has full faith in Krishna and confidence in him, one becomes eligible to discharge devotional service confidentially. Yeah. According to one's faith, one is a topmost, intermediate, or inferior devotee. Because the topmost devotee has full faith, also intensive knowledge about the Vedic literatures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vaishnava literatures. An intermediate devotee has full faith, but may not have so much knowledge of the Vedic literatures. And a Kanishta Adhikari, or inferior devotee, his faith is very fragile, and he doesn't have knowledge of the Vedic literatures. It's very, very sentimental. Shastra yukte sani puna dhra shrada yandra utamadikari se tarihe sansara. One who is expert in logic, argument, and the revealed scriptures, and who has firm faith in Krishna, is classified as a topmost devotee. He can deliver the whole world. So this is the definition of a topmost devotee, Uttama Adhikari. Expert in logic, argument, and the revealed scriptures, and who has firm faith in Krishna, is classified as a topmost devotee. He can deliver the whole world. And that, of course, is his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Yep. Shastre yuta cha nipuna sarvata drada nischaya krodha shada dikariya savaktav yutamo mataha. One who is expert in logic and understanding the revealed scriptures and always has firm conviction and deep faith that is not blind, he knows why he's doing what he's doing, is to be considered a topmost devotee in devotional service. This verse appears in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.17 by Srila Rupa Goswami. Okay, I think we should stop here. Tomorrow we're going to start with the Majjhima Adhikari. Today we read from text 54 to text 66 in the 22nd chapter. Okay. All right, so let me stop sharing and then we will take questions if any of you brave souls want to ask a question. I'm going to allow you, give me a second to unmute yourselves. Okay. Who would like to ask a question?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev.
Hare Rao.
My humble obeisances to you.
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Srila Prabhupada. I have a question.
Good to
see you. Thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah.
I have a question. Like you were, you were discussing about eating cow flesh. Now my question is, like few years back, and obviously on Facebook, people keep on posting about torturing of the cows in their calves. And in US somewhere, there's a place where the cow farming is done and they throw the calves, you know, I mean, they milk the cows and they do so many things. Are these
yes.
cows who are going so much torture in the present lives, are they the past karmas where they cow meat eaters in their previous birth?
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, they are, but at the same time, it doesn't excuse the people from doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, just like, I mean, for example, let me give an example. Let's say someone is a criminal.
Right.
And you decide to punish them. You go to jail. If you can, you do not have the right to punish a criminal.
Okay.
The government has the right. So in the same way, God, Krishna, Yamaraj and others like that, they're given the right, and some of the demigods are given the right to punish or reward people or living entities. It is not for us. So, yes, it is a fact that the cows that are being killed, it's not something by accident that they're being killed. In the last life, they were most likely people who ate cows.
Okay.
Yeah. And basically, that's their karma. That's their karma. However, the person who's deciding to kill the cow doesn't have the right to kill the cow
mm-hmm.
because it's not his adhikar, it's not his right. So therefore, he or she, because they have ladies working in the slaughterhouse now,
right.
he or she has to suffer for that particular action.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you, Gurudev. Hare Krishna.
Killing the cow is the most heinous activity. One has to take a cow birth and cow death for every cow that's killed.
Thank you.
So, let's see. Oh, some questions. Hare Krishna Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. My question is, how can one uplift oneself from being an inferior devotee to an intermediate devotee? The answer is, association and service and chanting and following the Navabhakti, the ninefold processes of devotional service. That's how. especially by association. If you associate, in other words, how do you get faith? Because what differentiates an intermediate devotee from a Kanishta Adhikari or inferior, I don't like to call devotees inferior, they're actually, all devotees are superior. But what differentiates them is the faith. And how does one get faith? By association. By seeing the character and qualities of a pure devotee, one actually gets faith in Krishna. That's the secret. You have to be able to associate. Again, you know, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha. Sarva shastra koi, lava matra, sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy, as the verse went that we read today. Just by a moment's 1/11th of a second association with a pure devotee, one can get all perfection. Okay, good question. All right, else wants to ask a question, raise your hand. Is pure devotional service the only way to be free of the karma of cow killing for ourselves and past relatives? Actually, by chanting the holy name Namabash, even Namabash, one gets free from the karma. But if one continues doing it, then it's all over. It doesn't work anymore. But Namabash chanting is so powerful that it can free one from all karma. So Namabash chanting means you're chanting accidentally, jokingly, even derisively, combining two syllables to make the holy name. Talking about a hotel, Ramada Inn, Ramada Inn. And in this way, you'll get free from the karma. But if you keep doing it, it doesn't work forever and ever and ever and ever. Another way of circumambulating Tulsi, Yani Kani Japapani Brahmacharya Dikani Cha. But if you do it deliberately for that purpose, it won't work. But if you do it like Ajamil, he did so many horrendous things in his life, and he chanted Namabash, the names of Narayana, with the name of Narayana, and he became free from karma. That's how powerful the Krishna's holy name is. Here's another one. Today you mentioned about mass prasadam cooking, prasadam being offered by Bhagavan. Yes, first initiated devotees, and I didn't say Brahmin devotees, I said any devotees, even if they're not initiated, can offer prasadam, as long as they're devotees. A devotee in my mind, okay, there's different definitions of devotees. One definition is one who chants Hare Krishna once. That's a real loose definition. But in this particular context, I would define devotee as someone who's following the regulative principles, at least, and chanting some rounds. Not even 16 rounds. But chanting some rounds, they're a devotee, and they have to be following the four regulative principles. Four regulative principles and chanting some rounds, and then I would consider them to be worthy of offering prasadam, offering bhoga, you don't offer prasadam, of offering bhoga to Krishna, and the remnants being prasadam. But if it's just hired someone, like if you hire someone who's a meat eater, or who eats meat, we use this expression, he's a meat eater. But actually, it's a person who eats meat. That's what the point is, meat eater, rakshasa, demon, whatever. He's a person who is acting demoniacally. He's a person who is acting like a rakshasa. But nobody by nature is a rakshasa. Everybody by nature is Krishna Das. So yes, first initiated devotees. It's fine when you're doing prasadam distribution. Or even uninitiated devotees is fine when you're doing prasadam distribution. Because Krishna accepts when someone is offered to him with love and devotion. Especially if someone is connected with the Krishna consciousness movement, under the direction of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So, that's all prasad. And if they have love and devotion, if they're just, even an advanced devotee, if he offers, of course, an advanced devotee won't offer without love and devotion, but even if an advanced devotee offers, like, neglectfully, Krishna doesn't have to accept it. Krishna's a person. And so he has the prerogative, because he's God, of doing anything he wants, and he can either accept or reject what you offered him. So, who else has a question? raise your hand or type in the text window, or we will end. I guess no one else has a question today. Oh, Gopal Das, Das Adhikari. What's your question?
Thank you, David. You said that even an advanced devotee, if Krishna doesn't want to accept it, he doesn't have to. And yet there's the story of Sanatana Goswami who offered the saltless bread balls. And Prabhupada said, because Sanatana Goswami was such a pure devotee, that Krishna had no choice but to accept it.
Well, Krishna, Sanatana Goswami wasn't simply an advanced devotee. He was a pure devotee. There's a difference between an advanced devotee and pure devotee, first of all. Second of all, it was offered with love and devotion. If he had offered, of course, Sanatana Goswami, being a pure devotee, could not offer without love and devotion. But sometimes advanced devotees, they slip a little bit. You know, sometimes the advanced devotee may not be a pure devotee. Like in the case of Bart Maharaj, who we mentioned in the previous class, he was a very, very advanced devotee, but not a pure devotee, and he slipped. He slipped. He made a mistake. So even an advanced devotee can make a mistake. When an advanced devotee doesn't offer something with devotion, then Krishna doesn't have to accept. Krishna doesn't have to accept. He's not a ritual. He's not forced by your activities. Krishna can do, he's independent. He can do anything he wants. Like if someone offers something to me without devotion, I will not accept it. With food, other things I may accept. You know, someone offers me a car without devotion, I would accept it. So Hare Krishna, we read devotees render devotional service confidentially. Is that at Uttama Adhikari platform or Raghunuga platform? A devotee can render service confidentially either being an Uttama Adhikari or a Majjhima Adhikari. Practically any devotee can render confidentially. That means just with one's heart in between you and the Lord. Okay, so it's time, so we should end now. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see everybody tomorrow evening. All glories to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Ki Jai, Gaura Premanand.